Day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Hope you're having a great Friday morning. Wanted to read to you from Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says in verse 14, "As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ." Our program's called Real Truth for Today, and we want to speak the truth in love. We want to share from a biblical perspective, a biblical worldview, what is going on in our world and how we are to understand it under the grid of Scripture. Well, you may have heard that there is a movement afoot among self-professed evangelicals, and the movement is Evangelicals for Harris. We had in 2020 Evangelicals for Biden, and now the same group, same founder, Evangelicals for Harris. And it was actually said, and it is said on their website, if you look at Evangelicals for Harris, that she is a deeply committed and faithful Christian. She has respect, great respect, for other faith traditions. Her mother and relatives in India took her to Hindu temples, and she joins her husband, Doug, in Jewish traditions and celebrations. Hard to think you're a deeply committed and faithful Christian when you have such respect for the false religion of Hinduism, and then the incomplete religion, the Christ-rejecting religion of Judaism. And so we want to talk about that today. Evangelicals for Harris with a giant question mark. And to engage in this discussion is my good friend, Dr. Tom Askell, pastor of Grace Baptist Church and the president of Founders Ministry. So, Tom, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Jeff. What a day, right? With Evangelicals for Harris. I think this is basically the same group just brought back to life that identified themselves as Evangelicals for Biden 4 years ago. And what a travesty to the cause of Christ and to the name of Christ that people would say they're Christians and that they then can support someone as a Christian who we have no reason to believe knows the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is the day where God's placed us.
Yeah, for sure. Well, just that phrase, a deeply committed and faithful Christian. I know you got somebody was slamming you on X, formerly Twitter, because you made this statement, which every Christian should agree with, that unless Kamala Harris has placed her faith and trust, turned from sin and placed her faith and trust in Jesus, she's going to hell. And that's true for every single person. And somebody called you to task for that.
Yeah, that's right. Dwight McKissick, pastor in Arlington, Texas, you know, he strongly rebuked me because he said that Kamala Harris is a member of, I think it's Third Avenue Baptist or a church in San Francisco, and that their confession of faith is a good confession of faith. And, you know, it's amazing to me that any Christian would have any problem by saying, you know, this person will go to hell unless they trust Christ. And of course, then you had trolls come along and say, well, you know, what do you say about President Trump, or what do you say about Trump? And I said, well, unless he trusts Christ, he will go to hell too.
Right.
And unless I trust Christ, I will go to hell. I mean, this
right.
is the ABCs of the Christian faith right here. And you can see how convoluted thinking has become in the face of these political tumultuous times, where even preachers of the gospel began to get offended at the basic statements and tenets of our gospel truth and faith.
It's amazing. So, Tom, I'm going to play a clip. You probably heard this from Matt Walsh. Matt Walsh is not one to mince words, and he talks about this issue with Kamala Harris and Christians, you know, hey, do we have we can vote for Harris or we could vote for Trump and, you know, maybe hold your nose and vote for Trump. But it's just apples or oranges. It's whatever you think is best for you, your family, the country, that kind of thing. And so I want to play this clip and have you comment on it.
It's very simple. Every American who considers himself conservative or Christian has a moral obligation to vote against Kamala Harris. This is a bad person, and she is part of a regime, more importantly, that has very bad, very evil designs for this country. She wants to kill babies. Okay, up to the moment of birth. That's what these people believe in. Fully born infants. She wants to destroy our national sovereignty. She doesn't believe that we have a right to national sovereignty. She wants to indoctrinate our children into an ideology of self-harm and confusion. These are the people who want to release violent criminals onto the streets. You know, to continue to destroy our communities. And in every other sense, they are actively working against everything we claim to stand for. So whatever you think of Trump, I mean, even if you have the most unflattering view of him that a reasonable person could possibly have, he is not part of that agenda. And if you are voting for that agenda, you are actively participating in the evil. You are supporting it. You are helping it to gain and retain power. And that you're doing all of that to get back at Donald Trump because you don't like him, at the expense of our country, that just makes you a fool at best. At best. This is not about being loyal to Donald Trump or any other politician. Politicians don't deserve our loyalty. I don't care about that. This is about loving your country enough and caring enough about your children and their future to put your feelings about Donald Trump to the side and cast a vote against this regime that has already done incredible harm to this country. And we'll do a lot more if we don't stop it.
That was Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire, author. He had the movie What Is a Woman that was so informative and eye-opening. And so, Dr. Tom Askell, what do you say about that clip?
I say amen. I agree with what he is saying. And it grieves me, Jeff, that we have people in our camp, you know, people that we count as brothers, Christian leaders even, who don't see this. And, you know, I used to laugh when people talked about the Trump derangement syndrome, but I think it's a real thing that people lose their minds at the thought of Donald Trump being president, and so it's almost anything at any cost to keep that from happening. And the folks who try to take moral high ground and say, well, Kamala Harris is the best candidate, the most moral of the two candidates, this is an argument that I think Dwight McKissick has made and others have. Well, that just shows their moral compass is broken. Nobody's claiming that Donald Trump is a saint. I mean, he needs to come to Christ, and I wish that he were principled in areas that I think are vitally important, like the reality that unborn children are indeed children. They're people. They deserve equal protection under the law. But Donald Trump is not inviting the barbarians to just continue to run roughshod in our country. And what do I mean by that? I mean the transitioning of children from boy to girl, girl to boy, denying reality, denying nature itself, beating the drum to continue the parade of Romans 1 debauchery, which is exactly what the Democratic Party is doing. It's exactly what Kamala Harris celebrates. And so you look at Joe Biden, or you look at Kamala Harris, you say, well, they never did what Donald Trump has done. And, you know, those things, even they talk about the stuff on the tape that came out. That's 15 years ago. And there's no justification for it, but I don't know anything in the last year where he's been accused or guilty of those kinds of things. You compare what they are doing by policy versus what he has done in his personal life, and it doesn't even compare. They are wicked. They are wicked people. They promote wicked policies. They hate our children. They hate God. And if their platform continues to be foisted upon this nation will continue to be destroyed from within. And if we love our neighbors, as the Bible tells us we must, then for the love of both God and our neighbors, we must vote against that wicked political machine of which now Kamala Harris is the primary leader.
Amen to that. Well, one of the things that Matt Walsh said, I just jotted it down. You know, if you vote for that, you're actively participating in the evil to gain and retain power. And Tom, if we say things about, you know, most of us really, we don't prop Trump up because he's not somebody that we want to, you know, hold up as this standard. But when you look at the choice, one is for lawlessness, defund the police. You know, they change their tune when they're running for office. But I've stated, hey, you just look at what they do. Don't look at what they say, because a politician mm-hmm. can say anything and promise the you know, sun, moon, and stars. But it's what do they do when they get in office? You know, I always had to chuckle to myself when Joe Biden, who's been in politics for decades and decades and decades, say, you know, if you let me get in there, I'll fix it. It's like, you've been in there. You haven't done anything. You've made it worse. And so, you know, Tom, when we get taken to the woodshed, so to speak, on a public social media platform for standing up and saying, hey, you can't do this. If you vote this way, you are participating in the evil, and people come out of the woodwork. How dare you? You're judgmental. You're this, you're that, you're the other. You're the Antichrist. You're supporting this terrible, horrible human being. How do you respond to that?
Well, it doesn't even bother me, and I'm saddened that people think that way when they're in our camp, and it shows how superficial their Christianity is, how superficial their thinking is, their theology is, in understanding what the Word says and how we are to live in God's world by that Word. So for years, we have been hammered with this idea of keep politics out of the church, keep politics out of the church, and the gospel needs to be separated from the political. Well, look, Jesus Christ is King. He's Lord over everything, including politics. Politics is the way that people live together in a society, hopefully in a very healthy way. And there's no way Christians cannot be political. We have been shamed into silence too long, primarily by those on the left, or those who want to let the left have their political agenda come into our churches. It's only whenever we speak for that which is conservative, we try to conserve what God has done in blessing this country since our founding, that's when the cackles start being raised against, oh, you can't bring politics into the church. If Christian pastors are not speaking out about these moral issues, we're not talking about the best policy to deal with nuclear armament. We're talking about children being murdered in the womb. We're talking about children being mutilated and that being legalized by the law, and parents who stand against it having their children taken out of their homes, which has happened in this nation. It has happened in this nation. There's a law right now, as you know, in California that puts parents on the defensive, that the state can come in and take their children over issues of LGBTQ transitioning. So this is what we are up against, and it grieves me that those who name the name of Christ either get silent or, as this so-called Evangelicals for Harris does, advocate for the barbarians that are trying to destroy our children. Kamala Harris, as a senator, advocated not only for abortion up to the moment of birth, but for post-birth abortions. Mm. In other words, children whose abortions were botched and they were accidentally born alive, she thinks, and argued for, they should be put to death. They should be allowed to die.
It's awful. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Dr. Tom Askell. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking about Evangelicals for Harris with a gigantic question mark after that. Talking to Dr. Tom Askell, the pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida, and the president of Founders Ministry. And Tom is a dear brother in the Lord who stands up for truth and for righteousness. And he's not a coward. He's willing to stand up and get shot at for the truth. Now, Tom, I want to run something by you that I saw on Twitter. It's been around for, about a year, but it says this. You watched The Hunger Games and sided with the resistance. You watched Divergent and sided with the resistance. You read about history and sided with the resistance. When it's fiction, you understand oppression. Why do you refuse to see it when it's reality? How come people can't see what is going on with power-hungry leftists?
Yeah, I think, Jeff, it's that old movie, The Matrix. You know, people talk about being red-pilled, and it's just hard to believe. I mean, by design, I think we want to trust, love, hopes all things, and we're called to respect those who have authority over us in the civil arena. And so Christians, you know, we have a default mode to try to do that. And we've been so blessed so long in this country by the Lord and enjoyed so many freedoms that it's really hard to believe that there are evil actors who want to destroy this nation, who hate God and want to destroy God's work in his world. And yet, if we read our Bibles with both eyes open, we got to believe in conspiracies because the devil is a conspirator. The devil hates God. He came to seek, kill, steal, and destroy. And when you look around at our culture, what's going on now? Well, that's it, right? It's murder, theft, and destruction. Well, whose handiwork is that? The Bible tells us. Jesus said it. This is the work of the devil. And so as Christians, we should not be duped any longer. We shouldn't have been duped this long, but we should have our eyes wide open to realize, no, we have been kind of led along a bad path for many, many years now, and it's time for us to wake up. And I do think it's like, you know, that frog in the kettle illustration, that the heat gets turned up gradually, and before long you're boiling, and you think, how did that happen? Well, we need to back up and come back to the Word of God. And this is where pastors like you and me, I think, bear the greatest responsibility. We've got to teach our people to understand the Word and then to use the Word to evaluate, to judge the world, to make decisions, to be discerning. And when you do that, it's like a slap in the face, and you say, oh my goodness, we have gone far down this dead-end road. Lord, forgive us, and have mercy on us, and turn us. And that's our hope, is we need revival. Founders Ministries is having a national conference in January. It'll be 4 days after the inauguration, and the theme of it is, revive us, O Lord. It's for that very reason. That is our only hope, is that God will come and revive us. And I think, as we've seen throughout history, we see in the Old Testament with God's people, we become complacent. God blesses us. We enjoy those blessings. We begin to take them for granted. We go to sleep, and those blessings get eroded from us because we don't steward them well, and we find ourselves in desperate need. And this, may God use this to turn us back to Him.
Hey, Tom, when we talk about, your vote matters, and you're going to give an account to God. Every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give an account of it in the day of judgment. And obviously, God is going to ask us about some of these things. But Christians that just kind of shrug their shoulders and think it doesn't matter, what do you think the consequences of a Christian, as Matt Walsh said, actively participating in the evil, and they say, well, I'm not having the abortion, I'm not doing this, I'm not mutilating confused, 10-year-olds, but when you vote for them, you're participating in that. So what would be the, on a true Christian who is deceived, What would be the recourse? I mean, how does that affect that person's relationship with God? You don't lose your salvation if you do that, if you're truly saved, obviously. But there are consequences to that. Yeah. How do you see that?
Well, I think people can act out of ignorance. And that's the most charitable judgment that I can make, is that these people are ignorant. They don't understand the issues. They've been duped. They've been deceived. Again, we're told in Scripture these things happen, that there are evil people who come in and disrupt whole households, taking them captive. The devil's always trying to take people captive to do his will. That's why people like you and me, shepherds, have been given to the church to warn against these people. So I think I make a distinction between faithful Christians doing their jobs day in and day out, trying to honor Christ, who may be deceived, and then pastors whose job it is to help them not be deceived and to show them where they have been deceived. And so many of these evangelicals for Biden, these are leaders. These are, there's pastors. Dwight McKissick, is right there. Well, he's going to be held to a much greater accountability. None of us is going to get in by our own works, as you've just made very clear. It's all grace, and so it'll all be because of Christ. But we will have to stand and give an account. And the reality is, those who give an account for evil actions done in ignorance, Paul talks about that himself, when he was a murderer and did these things, said, but God had mercy on me because I acted in ignorance. I did these things ignorantly. And so I hope that that is the case for most. But when a man is in a position of a teacher, of a faithful, of a shepherd under the Lord Jesus Christ, our chief shepherd, and he does these things, I don't know. Hebrews 13:17 says that we as pastors will give an account for how we carry out our stewardship of guarding the flock and feeding the flock and protecting the flock. And I shudder about that. I mean, I do that for myself. I mean, it's one of the things that keeps me going back to the Scripture and saying, Lord, show me. And I just think we've been duped. We have a superficiality that covers so much of our evangelical Christianity today, and we don't have any time left. We've got to rip away the veneer, get back to the basics, and just plead with God, show us by your Spirit the truth of your word. Whatever it says, we're going to believe whatever it says. We're going to go wherever it leads us, regardless of cost or consequence. And that mentality needs to come and grip God's people, especially pastors, if we're going to be delivered from this, because otherwise we're setting our people up, God's children, the flocks over which we have been given responsibility to lead and shepherd. We're setting them up to continue to be deceived, down bad roads. And then when you think about 1 Corinthians 11, you know, Paul says that God actually killed some of the church members there in order to preserve them, you know, to keep them from going further into sin. And so that might be a consequence as well, you know, that God, he does remove his children to preserve them, to keep us from just finally, you know, making a mess of everything.
Right. Well, I was thinking about this, Tom. So evangelicals for Harris. Now, no doubt there are some on there that are true believers, and there are some on there that are not. And there are apostates on there. There are, you know, wolves in sheep's clothing that are trying to lead people astray. But I asked myself this question, and I'll ask it to you. Do you really think the true Christians that affiliate with that really think that Kamala Harris is a deeply committed and faithful Christian? I mean, you and I don't think that about Donald Trump.
Right.
We're not trying to prop him up, as I said, as some kind of standard bearer for righteousness and morality. He's not that.
Right. Right. So I agree with you. And I think it goes back to, you know, what this pastor said to me. He strongly rebukes me because Kamala Harris is a member of a Baptist church. Well, what is that? That
means nothing.
That's superficial reasoning that
right.
If you're a member of a church, you're a Christian. No. I mean, Jesus said it himself in the Sermon on the Mount, that many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not perform miracles in your names? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And he said, I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you.
Right.
Now, that fact should cause us to realize, okay, there's a lot more to knowing Christ and being known by Christ savingly than simply doing great things and having great gifts, and certainly more than just being a member of a church. But that's the superficial level that so much of modern Christianity lives in today. And I grieve over it. I wish it were different. But those are the facts, and so again, we have got to stand against that. We've got to keep sounding the alarm bells, keep standing on the Word, preaching the Word, and even calling our fellow pastors back to the Word. And I don't know what the state of their souls are, but I'm willing to say this is a false teacher. Anybody that teaches that is a false teacher, and God's people need to stay away from them.
Yeah, I totally agree. Okay, so here's a question for you. Tom, do you think that apostates know they're apostates?
No.
Well, don't think they do?
I mean, some just reject the faith altogether and make no pretense about it. These ex-evangelicals or those who have deconstructed their faith, there are a lot of those that certainly, you know, make no pretense of being Christian at all. But I do think that there are those who are deceived. And again, it's going to be a wake-up call on the day of judgment. The people
right.
Jesus just described, these are not people out in the gutters. These aren't people that are professed atheists. These are religious people. These are people who are casting out demons, who are preaching. So that's a sober warning, isn't it? I mean, these are the people in our churches. These are the people in our conferences. And Jesus says many among them will hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. So I think you can be a false convert and not know it. And that's about the worst condition a person can be in. The next to best condition is to know that you're not saved. You know, the best condition is to be saved. But if you're not saved and you know you're not saved, that's far better than thinking you're saved and being lost.
You know, the double standards that we see as it relates to Harris versus Trump, they like to point out that Trump is an adulterer and so immoral. And paint Kamala Harris as this you know, moral, wonderful, wholesome woman. She's the woman that had an affair with Willie Brown when he was married.
Mm-hmm.
She's 29, he's 60. I don't think that's just a love at first sight thing. That's a this guy can help me get ahead. Nobody's talking about that.
Right, right. Which is just further indication that we're being steered. We're being steered. And God's people have got to realize it. We're being emotionally manipulated, and we've got to stand against it and not be intimidated when people say, how dare you vote for Donald Trump, or how dare you defend Trump? Matt Walsh didn't defend Trump, I'm not defending Trump. I'm going to vote for Trump if these are the two options that we're left with when the time to vote comes, because I cannot bring myself to vote for barbarians who will further the overrun of our nation by people who hate God, who want to destroy the work of God, who are willing to murder children and willing to mutilate children, all in the name of their religion and their supposed freedom. I just can't. I will not do it. I'll stand against it, and I'm willing to die trying to plead with people to come to their senses to see what is really going on.
Amen to that. Well, one of the things, too, Tom, that's a big issue, it's always been a big issue, is not every everything is the same, is weighted the same. Abortion is so much greater in importance to fight against that than other issues that people, they try and level the playing field. And that's one of the things, you know, Megan's book, Shepherds for Sale, when you have, you know, we started this turn some years ago where it's like, well, abortion is bad. Yeah, but so we believe in the womb to the tomb. And so what are we doing with them after they're born? And so they try and level that out. There's no leveling of that. Abortion is the murder, the brutal murder by dismemberment of the unborn. What else compares to that? Nothing.
Exactly. No, this, again, it's an indictment on how poor our moral reasoning has become. There's so much moral equivalency that we see from the left today, and people try to steer us by that. Well, yeah, but what has happened to abortion? We've been electing pro-life presidents, and look what's, you know, nothing's happened on this, and we have more abortions today than we've had in years, and so that's just not working. And plus, your guy wants to cut tax rates, or your guy wants to do this, and that affects these policies over here. Those are not the same thing. Those are apples and oranges. Again, if we would read our Bibles, go back and read what God did to Manasseh, what God says about Manasseh when he offered up his son to the pagan god Moloch in the fire. Child sacrifice. That is what's going on in abortion. We need to call it what it is. It is child sacrifice to pagan gods, to demons. It's the worship of demons. If God's people would come to see it that way, then we wouldn't be equivocating, saying, well, yeah, I know that she wants to promote the worship of demons and have tax dollars fund it, but, you know, she's more moral than this other guy. We need to get rid of the euphemisms and start calling the policies what they actually are and the practices what they actually are.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Tom, we got about another minute. What do you see if the vote goes for Harris in November, Harrison Walls, how do you see America for the next 4 years?
Well, hopefully it'll bring God's people to our knees. And again, I think I told you that we're going to have that conference here in Cape Coral in Southwest Florida 4 days after the inauguration. Revive us, oh God. It's on revival. We're pleading with God to send revival. But I see more of the same and even worse than what we've put up with these last 3.5 years under President Biden. It'll be grievous. But God is in control. God is doing things right now. He raises up leaders and casts them down. He does that with empires and nations. And I pray that he'll be pleased to humble us to the dust and cause God's people to rise up, stand on his word, proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and that he would be pleased to grant a great revival and many people coming to faith in him, that this nation might see its greatest days. But Amen. That will happen only by the grace of God.
Amen.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking to my good friend, Dr. Tom Askell, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. And he's been there 38 years. Is that right, Tom?
Yes, sir. That's right.
38. You got 38 more in the tank?
I don't know. You know, at this stage, I'm just kind of like part of the furniture around here. just kind of blend in, and however much longer they can tolerate me, I'll stay.
You know, I saw our mutual friend, John MacArthur, doing an interview for the Master's Seminary just recently. He's 85. has some heart issues and some health issues, and obviously that's taken its toll. He's much more frail than he was, but still looking to get back to the pulpit, and I hope that he can continue on. But Adrian Rogers used to say, you know, all of us are going to be gnawed by the tooth of time the longer we're on this earth. So,
yeah, not amen.
Not a pretty picture, but it is accurate. Well, we're going to go to the phone lines at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Tom's going to stay with us. So if you have a question for Dr. Tom Askell or myself, we'd love to hear from you, a question or a comment. We've been talking and calling this program today Evangelicals for Harris, with the biggest question mark you can put after that, because how in the world could you be a faithful evangelical and vote for the things that Harris is for? And Tom, you know, one of the things that they bring up on the website, Evangelicals for Harris, has to do with climate change. And all these people that are so worried about climate change, you know, your good friend Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, tongue-in-cheek there, you know, says that the world, just a few years ago, everything's going to be over in 12 years. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have 8 years left or something like that. But it's just ridiculous to me that people are concerned about climate change. God controls the climate. God is in charge. Mm-hmm. That man is not going to destroy himself.
Right. No, that's right, and that's just the latest prediction. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when we were going to freeze to death in 15 years, and when Miami was going to be underwater. None of those things have happened, and you know, is the climate changing? Yes, it's changing. It's been changing for more than 6,000 years. So, that's just Chicken Little. It grieves me again to see Christians fall for this kind of stuff. If your listeners want to get a good handle on this, read the book Apocalypse Never by Michael Schellenberger. It's excellent on this whole environmental wackoism that we're living with today.
Well, we've talked about a lot of things today, but double standards they really abound in this political season. And the things that people like to charge Trump with and come at him so hard and Christians supporting him, how in the world could you support a man like that? But they seem to give the other side a pass. So we don't look at the other side. Tim Walz, Stolen Valor, that's not a debatable subject. That is verifiable. He did that. He lied. And then they try and say, well, he misremembered. You don't misremember that. You're just lying through your teeth.
I thought I was in combat. I forgot.
It's unbelievable to me. And so give me your two cents, Tom, on the vice presidential nominee.
Yeah, well, my goodness, just look at what happened in Minnesota during the whole riots and cities burning, and his lack of response to it, refusing to send out National Guard troops. And then, yeah, the Stolen Valor issue. He strikes me as almost like the straight man for Kamala Harris's gig in this, and I think the ticket is just a very poor ticket. It's a ticket that is anti-God, anti-Christianity, and those that are supporting it in the name of God and Christianity, I think, at best, are severely duped, superficial in their understanding of God's word, and at worst are either being steered by leftists or are themselves leftists.
Mm. Well, you know, we've talked about this over the years. You know, you have to have, if you're going to be the leader of the free world, you have to have a basic understanding of right and wrong, law and order. If Romans 13 means anything, the government is there to punish evildoers and make life safe and livable for those who are going to operate in good faith and under the laws of the land and the biblical laws of the land, you know, the Ten Commandments. You don't steal, you don't murder, you don't commit adultery, you don't do those things. But it seems that one side has a decent sense their compass isn't broken on right and wrong. And the other side, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And for Christians to say, that's what I want, this side that wants to murder babies, that wants to mutilate children, that wants to have open borders, that wants to defund the police, what is an America like that? How do you live in a land like that?
Yeah, well, we are slowly finding out, and if this ticket gets elected, I'm afraid we will find out at a much more rapid speed. The good news is God has had his people living in places like that throughout history, even today. You know, there are places where God's people suffer and are persecuted, and so we don't need to worry about the promises of God failing. Christ will build his church. And so in the midst of dealing with political realities and cultural realities that have dark clouds all around them, you and I and God's people must remember that above those clouds there is an enthroned Christ who rules and overrules. And so we have no reason to despair. We should not be pessimistic because we know how this ends. We know what Christ will ultimately do. And we know from seasons of history how even in darkest moments, he's been doing great work. I think the cross gives us a paradigm for that. You know, that was the darkest day on record when the only righteous man was executed as if he were the worst criminal. I mean, that's the most heinous thing that's ever been done. And God was doing his deepest work of redemption in that event. So because of that, we have every reason to hope and believe that the God who raises the dead can raise this nation if he chooses, or he can throw it on the ash heap of history and raise other nations, but his kingdom will not fail. So I want to be hopeful, I want to be joyful, but I also want to be eyes wide open and very realistic and call evil evil and good good and not get those two things confused, as the prophet Isaiah warns us against.
Yes, very good. Well, we have, going to the phone lines, we have Obi on the line from West Virginia. Obi, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
I just can't tell you how much I appreciate you guys. My fellow warriors in Jesus Christ, just keep speaking the truth and love, guys.
Thank you.
My question to you gentlemen is just exactly how would you define yourself as an honest-to-God, born-again Christian, saved by the grace of God, because evangelical and Christian mean nothing in the society in which we live. You don't know what you're going to get when somebody says, well, I'm an evangelical or I'm a Christian. How would you describe yourself so that it might accurately, distinctively set you apart from so many that claim to be Christians but really are not?
Yeah, great question. Mm-hmm. Dr. Tom?
Well, yeah, I am a blood-bought sinner saved by grace through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my King. His word is my law. And I joyfully am obligated and submitted to his lordship in my life and in every area of life. And so I want to represent him and live for him. That's as succinctly as I could put it, I think, in terms of Christ is my life.
Amen. You know, I shared that just yesterday, I think, Tom, Colossians chapter 3, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. And Christ is not a part of our life. We have no life outside of him. I've died. We have died, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. And so, the moment that you really are saved, that you give your heart and life to Jesus, well, you belong to him. We've been bought with a price. And so our job is to glorify him in our body. And I love when you were had your name submitted for the presidency of the Southern Baptist Convention, and the phrase, we have a book. If we're not going to live by the Bible, then what are we doing?
Amen. No, I believe that so deeply. And I realize, okay, people who believe the Bible can disagree and have different interpretations on some things. But on the big things, we're not going to disagree. On the truth of the gospel, on the reality of God's law, on the holiness of God, the necessity of the Spirit's work in giving life, God's people are going to agree on those things. And if we can stand firm on those things, then, man, we can get a lot done together because of our agreements and our submission to Christ as Lord.
Amen. We have Daryl on the line. Obi, thanks for calling in. Thanks for your encouragement. We have Daryl on the line from Texas. Daryl, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes. Hi, Pastor Jeff. Thank you for taking my call. I want to say just a couple of things. One, I really appreciate being your ministry, your heart. You've just been so consistent. And I just love listening to the program as many mornings as I can. So thank you for just being a consistent model of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus and a servant. I want to share that, you know, the church is responsible to me for the state of this nation, because we have people who just don't have God's standard. It's whatever they feel at the moment. And as an African-American man, I despise, and it's so, for my community to just kind of pretty much go with anything that looks like the same color of their skin just because. That's a 1960s, 50s way of thinking, and it frustrates me. We just need to, the only way things are going to be, the ship is going to be uprighted, is if we as Christians, if people just really start to say my standard, and I, when I go to a ballot box, I vote based upon God's standard. I'm not trying to vote for a perfect person. I'm looking for a person who is representing what God's word says is of value to him. So I could say a lot more, but the church is responsible for the state that this world is in, and the church can turn it around, but it's not playing in the sandbox. It's actually getting in there, getting dirty, and praying, and just being consistent with learning and following God's word.
Amen. That's a good word. Amen. You know, I think about, Daryl, that phrase that Joe Biden said, if you don't know who to vote for, you ain't black. That's exactly what you're talking about. It's like, what is that? It's sickening to think that people would think that way. And we need to vote for the candidate. We don't have two great candidates. I mean, we just don't, in terms of moral integrity and those kinds of things. So you vote for the one that seems to have a better compass on right and wrong. Tom? Mm-hmm.
Amen. No, I agree with you. And again, I think we need to understand the difference between casting a vote and joining a church or participating in the Lord's Supper or something like that. It's a vote. It's an instrument. It's a gift. It's a privilege that God has trusted to us in this constitutional republic. And we need to steward it well. And that means we need to do hard work and understanding the Bible, just like what Daryl said, understanding God's standards, and then letting our voice be heard through voting and other means in behalf of God. If God's people don't speak for God, who is going to speak for God?
Good point. Good question. We have Dennis on the line. Thank you, Daryl, for calling. We have Dennis on the line from Missouri. Dennis, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. Thank you for your program and all that you do. I'm a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus, and he's my Lord and Savior. I'm an old guy, and as I hear all this, I ask myself a question. If Jesus was down here on earth today listening to all this, I ask myself, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus want me to believe in people who want to kill babies and transgenderism and all this other nonsense? I don't think so. I think people need to ask themselves, what would Jesus have me do? And then search God's word and don't know what to do.
That's a good point. Yeah, very good. Amen. Well, obviously, if Jesus were here, he'd take over, and he's not on the ballot. But, you know, what does Jesus want me to do as it relates to the vote? And so, Tom, we have about another minute. I'll let you answer that.
Yeah. Well, we've got to steward it. First of all, we got to get out and vote. I'm appalled at the number of evangelical Christians self-identified as such that do not even vote. And if that's you and you're listening to this, then friend, please, for the sake of your children, your grandchildren, for the sake of your neighbors, go and vote against this wicked regime, this Harris and Biden and now Waltz regime. We must do that for the love of our neighbors.
Amen. Well, Dr. Tom Askell, thank you for being my guest today. It's always a pleasure, my friend. God bless you and continue to give you strength and health and grace and peace.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to Real Truth for today. And you can share this program, AFR.net, or any of the programs on any of the talk formats. But for Real Truth for today, love for you to get the word out to friends and neighbors. And go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as his witness. I'll be with you again on Monday. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.